Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
The Redskins guys have moved on from Jay Gruden, but it does not mean they're ready to start rookie quarterback Dwayne Haskins. Yesterday, interim head coach Bill Callahan said the plan is to still develop the rookie QB and not rush him onto the field. Team president Bruce Allen also spoke to the media yesterday and feels confident where his organization is at. Take a listen.
You know, the culture is actually damn good. These people care. We have a very young core of players that we have brought in here who are accustomed to winning. If you look at the record of these guys, they're accustomed to winning. They want to win.
Okay, Shannon, are you surprised the Redskins aren't playing Haskins?
I'm surprised that Bruce Allen said the culture is actually good.
I'm not surprised.
But it's not good.
But I've known him for a long time. He's paid a lot of money to be the owner's mouthpiece.
Oh, okay.
A whole lot of money.
So in other words, he paid a lot of money to lie.
Okay.
Yes. Okay, I give you.
Okay.
Yeah, I am surprised, Skip. They selected this young man number one overall, what, 15th pick?
Yep.
The 15th overall.
Yep.
But from all indication, this was a Daniel Snyder pick and not
a
Jay Gruden pick.
Okay, so why isn't he playing Sunday?
I think if he's not playing after you fired the head coach, it tells me he's not close. Now, it's going to be and Bill Callahan took over as the head coach because he has head coaching experience. He's taken a team to the Super Bowl, the Raiders. We know they lost to the Tampa Bay Bucks. But, Skip, if it's me, I think they got a bye week in about 3 or 4 weeks with the instructions. Bill Callahan.
Yep.
Coming out of that bye, Dwayne Haskins needs to be the starting quarterback of this football team. I need to see what I have.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand Jay Gruden, Skip. Jay Gruden's like, my job is to win games. Not to, you know, developing players is one thing, Skip, but I'm trying to win. At the end of the day, Jay Gruden really has an obligation to the other 40 guys in that locker room to try to put the best players on the, not like, oh, we selected him in the first round and he needs to play. Guys want to win. And if they think Dwayne Haskins is the best guy for the job, they want him in there. That's what Jay Gruden is like. I believe right now, Case Keenum is the best guy.
Sure.
Well, Keenum got hurt.
Colt McCoy.
Yeah.
But
moving
forward, basically, I believe they've given Callahan 4 weeks to get this young man ready to play. And coming out of the bye week, he needs to be the starter.
Yep.
He needs to get more reps because it's hard for me to believe, Skip, he wasn't even getting any first team reps. He was just running scout team stuff. Well, for people at home, it's scout team, Skip. They draw the stuff up on the card. They circle where they want you to throw the ball to.
Yeah.
They don't even tell you no play, Skip. They just like, here's
all
the card.
By design.
Yeah. You looking at the card like this here. And they got the guy, circled with red, throw him the ball. Mm. Or they got the guy throw that guy the ball. What is that? How's that helping him get ready to run your offense? He needs to hear plays being called.
Yep.
He needs to go through a progression. If you're telling him where to throw the ball, how's he reading anything, Skip? So he's never going to be able to progress and be able to understand what he needs to understand.
Mm.
But Bruce Allen, let me tell you why you can't establish a culture. Because your owner won't let a coach stay in there long enough. Now, Jay Gruden overstayed his welcome.
He did.
Because hell, he wasn't winning anything.
Yep.
But your owner meddles too much. Because he wants to be Jerry Jones.
Hmm.
That's his problem right there.
It's true.
If he would be Daniel Snyder and not want to be Jerry Jones, I guess D.C. Theoretically, D.C. is the South because it falls below the Mason-Dixon line.
Yep. Okay.
But if
it's like that.
A weird mix.
It is, Skip.
Yep.
But if he would stop trying to be Jerry Jones, everything would probably be a lot better. But he wants to meddle like Jerry. And so he hadn't had
this. He just isn't as public as Jerry.
No.
Is.
But trust me, he's meddling as much as Jerry, if not more so. The only difference, like you said, Jerry is public about his.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to hide behind the scenes. Well, it's not me lying. It is you.
True. So I must admit, because I keep reading that Daniel Snyder fell in love with Dwayne Haskins and likes him on and off the field because he was a longtime Redskin fan as a kid. And so I thought, this is a done deal.
Yeah.
I just thought, well, here they go with the Dwayne Haskins era.
Right.
And I was pretty surprised that, wait a second, Bill Callahan says, not yet? Really?
Mm-hmm.
So I did see a good quote on ESPN.com from Jay Gruden yesterday. And I think this sums it up because I kept reading, and I don't know this for a fact, but that Gruden wasn't completely sold on Dwayne Haskins.
Mm-hmm.
But Gruden said, until he gets really comfortable talking about Dwayne, it's for his own good. If I didn't like him, I'd put him out there right now. Right. So he's just saying, I think the world of him, because he's a great kid.
Right.
He's great. He's fun to be around, great charisma.
Right.
And yet, when we have seen him in the preseason games, and then against Daniel Jones, he got thrown into the fire for a good portion of that game.
Right.
He was really having a hard time.
Right.
I think he's not ready.
And the thing is, Skip, normally what happens is that the Giants, when they prepared, they thought they were going to see Case Keenum for the entirety of the game.
Yep.
So they have no scheme. So what happens if Daniel Jones come in? Sometimes when you see guys come in and out, they're like, okay, we got a package for Lamar Jackson in case he comes in for Joe Flacco when Flacco was there. Yep. They had no packages. So this is his opportunity. They're unprepared for him to show him something.
Hmm.
And now, he showed them okay.
Now back to your bigger point, Daniel Snyder. I'm going to speak as a Cowboy fan. I miss the Cowboy-Redskin rivalry because it's no more at the moment. And the reason it's no more is because of that owner.
Mm-hmm.
This is his 21st season in Washington. They've won in his 21 years two playoff games out of seven. They're 2-5 in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
Last time they won a playoff game, you might remember this, was 2005. At John Gruden's Tampa Bay with Joe Gibbs as the head coach.
Yep.
Mark Brunell was the Redskin quarterback. And he completed 7 of 14 passes that day for 41 yards. And they won the game. Don't ask me how.
Yeah.
But it was tedious to watch because I remember watching it. And that's the last time they won a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't tell you how many games I attended and covered at old RFK. Did you ever play there?
I played there. I did.
Okay. And I used to call it the rickety feel for knuckleheads.
Games there.
You know, because it was crazy.
It was.
The stands would
sway.
You know, it was, you couldn't get a ticket. They were out of their minds. Yeah. It was a blood rivalry with the Dallas Cowboys. They hated Dallas.
Yeah.
And it was Dallas week in Washington. And I used to think, it just might be the best NFL town in America.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can't give away tickets.
Right.
The Patriots went there last week and the Patriot fans took over the stadium.
Yeah, said it felt like a home game.
What? Because of this guy, Dan Snyder.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, you can't fire the owner.
Right.
And you can't, you know, you can't, if I can use that term, you can't impeach the owner. So,
no.
So it's not like a public job where you can unelect, you know, he has to run for reelection. So you're stuck with this guy.
Yep.
And he keeps Bruce Allen to be his mouthpiece.
Correct.
And now they're going to go into the Dwayne Haskins era. And I don't see an end to this.
Right.
I don't see it getting any better because what has he ever demonstrated that was right? In-house, he had Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan, right?
Yeah, that is true.
And he had the guy that's at Green Bay, LaFleur.
LaFleur.
All them guys.
Now, I'm not sure about him yet, but again, better than
Jay
Gruden.
They all seem to be doing
he kept Jay Gruden.
Okay. Now, just on balance, just for perspective, Jay Gruden did make one excuse that's valid. They have had 52 players on IR over the last 2 years. So they've had way more than their share of injuries.
That is true.
Training staff and strength and conditioning program.
You could be right. You could be right. But think they lost Alex Smith, and then this year they lost Jordan Reed. These are big pieces to their
puzzle. Trent
Williams hadn't even reported yet. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's hard to overcome that, but Jay Gruden had plenty of chances, and he won one playoff game. He lost it. It was the Kirk Cousins versus Aaron Rodgers game at Washington. Mm-hmm. So he got to one playoff game. Well, so he's gone. I don't know. You know, like I think it was ESPN. Maybe it was Ed Werder who speculated Mike Tomlin.
Mike Tomlin.
Huh.
Okay. Well, why would Mike Tomlin want to inflict this upon himself?
Yeah. Why would
who
I leave?
Wants to work?
Why
it's
would
what
I leave?
You just said about working for Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
This is even worse to
me. Yes. The Steelers have had three coaches in the last 50 years.
Yeah.
They stay out of your way.
Yeah, come on.
So why would you subject yourself to that?
Why would you start? What good would it do you? What would you be able to prove there?
I got total control.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
Yeah. At least Jerry Jones is upfront about having his input. This guy's like Machiavelli. You know, he's behind the scenes.
Yes.
It's all clandestine.
Yes.
And you're never.
Oh, such and such is making that move. No, he's not. That's a Daniel Snyder move.
Okay. I don't know.
It's not going up.
No good. But I miss the Redskins as a Cowboy fan.
I believe that.
Well, it's not coming back anytime soon.
Okay.
Oh, so you finally admit it. Mm. But you remember when Dak was 6-0? He said, oh, the Redskins, that's a brutal rivalry. Mm. It's going to be something. So now you told the truth.
Like no, it is a rivalry. I think the players still take it seriously. The fans don't.
No mercy.
Hey, football fans, are you an Amazon Prime member? Did you know that you have Thursday Night Football? Yeah, that's right. Thursday Night Football has returned to Prime Video for a third season. The cool thing is, you can catch all the action on your TV, on the web, or on your mobile device anywhere in the world. And the experience is next level. With Prime Video's X-ray feature, you can access next-gen stats, play history, and team information. And now it's available on iOS, Android, Fire tablets, and Fire TV. If you're ready to hear a new take on the game, you can switch over to sport broadcast legends Hannah Storm and Andrea Kramer for the play-by-play. So, if you don't have cable or simply want to experience the future of football, tune in this Thursday. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern and kickoff is at 8:20 p.m. Eastern. Also available on Fox and NFL Network. NFL Network simulcast subject to change. Thursday Night Football is presented by Bud Light Platinum. No mercy.
Before their first preseason game last night, Pelicans head coach Alvin Gentry was asked to compare Zion Williamson to LeBron James, but Gentry did not take the bait, saying that the comparison was unfair. Gentry said LeBron is one of a kind and no one can have an immediate impact like he did when entering the league. In the game, Zion looked good, racking up 16 points, 7 rebounds, and 3 assists in 28 minutes against the Hawks. So, Shannon, is the Zion-LeBron comparison fair?
No, it's not a fair comparison, and nor should it be. And Alvin Gentry say, look, tamp these comparisons down. It's not fair. First of all, Skip, he doesn't have the expectation. Mm. The offense, he's not going to be in control of the offense. That'll be Lonzo. When Lonzo is not handling the ball, that'll be Jrue Holiday. When Holiday isn't on the ball, that'll be Ingram. I don't see a scenario. LeBron James has been in the control his entire 17-year career, and he will be that again.
Yep.
So the comparison is not there. I get it. He's going to have highlight plays, Skip. The only comparison, they were number one overall draft picks, highly touted.
Yep.
The guys love these guys. Everybody's going to love him because he's going to play hard nightly, Skip. He's going to have highlight plays.
Yep.
The dunk right off the rip, first tomahawk, and then two hand and blocking shots. He's going to be spectacular. But, Skip, he's not going to have the immediate impact. He's not going to be asked to do what LeBron was asked to do. Mm-hmm. So I don't really think it's a fair comparison to say Zion and LeBron James is on equal footing as rookies.
To me, this is so totally unfair that it's sickening because it's so wrong. And it's become maybe a runaway media theme.
Right.
But I don't believe any player or any coach in this league is sitting back saying, man, I wonder if Zion's going to eclipse LeBron's early impact. Nobody's thinking that.
Right.
That's just...
Do people realize how good LeBron was, Skip, early on?
What was the numbers at Sacramento that opened?
Well, yeah, like 25? 20. You know, he had like 25, 28, yeah. 5, and 5. 28, 8, yeah. And 5 or something like that.
Okay.
But he was spectacular right out the box.
And to your... I've said this all along. He's a once-a-generation passer of the basketball. And even though Zion played point guard in high school.
Right.
And then grew.
Yeah. Right.
Come on. It's so wrong.
Right.
It sets such a ceiling, so to speak, on what Zion can do early on, because now we're in a different media age, social media age.
Correct.
It's going to be runaway highlight dunks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's going to have those, and I think he's going to have them every night.
Yes, he will.
Because he is an exceptionally, rarely athletic leaper. But, you know, they force you in the NBA to have actual measurements. Did you see what his was?
I told him he's 6'6".
He's 6'6". So I thought when I first was aware of Zion early last year, I thought he was 6'8"-ish.
Yeah.
And then that's Duke listed him at 6'7", and now they are officially listing him at 6'6".
Wow.
Right.
Charles Barkley once upon a time was listed at 6'6", but he was probably 6'4.5", maybe, something like that.
And if he has a career Charles Barkley had, Barkley had a hell of a career.
He
just happened to be in the era when Michael Jordan, he caught the tail end of Magic Johnson and Larry Bird.
Yep.
But Charles Barkley in any other era had a hell of a career.
Yep.
He's an MVP, took a team to the finals.
Right, and Charles had ball skills
yes.
I don't yet see in this kid.
Yeah.
Where he could handle it, shoot it off the glass.
Yeah.
He started shooting threes late in his career.
Yes.
But the only similarity there is Charles was always a little too heavy, but he was a leaper for his girth.
And this kid here is a leaper also. Yeah. But Skip, he can't 285, Skip, that's too heavy.
I got it.
Skip, he's going to have to. Skip, he's 285 at 19.
Yeah.
If I'm him, I understand New Orleans, the cuisine down there, but Skip.
But he looked a little better last night.
I'm finding me a personal chef. You're
better.
Let's just be careful with better. Injuries.
Knees won't take it.
No.
Joints won't take it.
No. Nah. Yep. A man that size, Skip, wasn't built to get up and down like he explosive, mm-hmm. jumping up and down like that.
Yep. So I told you all along, his best attribute to me is his joy
yes.
that he plays
it's
with.
Infectious.
Because it's infectious and it fuels him on a nightly mm-hmm. basis. I think he'll play as hard as anybody in the league
no
will
question.
Play every dribble.
Yes.
Where every night he's going to bring whatever he's got that night.
Mm-hmm.
I hope he doesn't become jaded by the process because 82 is a lot of games.
A lot of games.
And after about 40 of them, he's going to probably hit the rookie wall and say, I have to play again tomorrow night.
Yeah, that's 2.5 times of college season.
Yeah,
it is.
That's
a good point. It adds up quick.
Whew.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of wear and tear, not only your body, but on your psyche.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and you know, you're a grown man, Skip. You got light bill, phone bill, gas bill. You got a cell phone you got to worry about now. Mm-hmm. I mean, not that he had to worry about that. But I mean, I'm saying, he ain't got to go to study hall. He ain't got class. You got a job now.
Yeah.
I mean, a real job. You go to work, and now you got, okay, what does he do with his, how does he manage mm-hmm. his time, Skip? Because, you know, in college, Skip, you got practice, you got study hall, you got training, you got all this. So your time is managed for you.
Yep.
Now, as an adult, you got a real job. You got to manage your own time.
Mm-hmm.
How does he do that?
Yeah. Did you see yesterday he walked by Alvin Gentry, who was being interviewed by the ESPN reporter, and he said, they asking about me? They are.
Yeah.
Because that's all they're going to ask about the whole year.
Yes.
It's going to be all about you.
Yes.
And everybody's going to want a piece of you and your time.
And everybody's coming to see you.
You. And expectations are going through the roof like you jump.
Yes.
And you're playing, I told you, this is LeBron's greatest degree of difficulty in his career because the West is so deep mm-hmm. now. And New Orleans is intriguing to me mm-hmm. because they got a shot to make the back end of the playoffs.
Yeah.
They could be the 8th seed. But that means expectations.
Yes.
So he can't just walk in the door and say, well, you know, because did LeBron make the playoffs his first year?
No.
Nope, he did not.
No.
Okay. Hard.
It's very hard.
Yeah.
And that was in the East.
In the East.
Can you imagine the West? The West is stacked.
Stacked to the bottom. It's
yes.
as bottom heavy as it's ever been.
Yes.
Because teams like Sacramento, or they got talent.
Sacramento
man.
Is better.
Yeah.
I mean, Golden State, we think Golden State's going to be good,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think Golden State's going to finish in the top three. Top four.
I don't think
so.
That means
5-8 for them if they make the playoffs. Portland. Mm-hmm. Portland thinks they've gotten better with Hassan Whiteside and Nurkic coming back.
Utah got way better.
Yeah. Denver's not going anywhere.
Nope. And Houston thinks he's got
exactly.
a dynamic duo.
Yes. Yeah. And we saw Saturday night.
Yeah.
We saw Saturday night.
Oh, I know you were happy.
We saw Saturday night. It was Gil Bay.
Preseason.
You were the parade master yesterday, right? How was it?
It's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time.
They present the trophy.
No.
We hold it off on that.
Huh.
We hold it off on that.
Are you?
Nah. Yeah.
That's good.
Boy, it looked like a championship team to me.
It does.
In the first half of the first of 6 preseason games.
Skip. That was just a little sample.
Yep.
That's what we do. We give you a sample.
Okay.
You taste it, you like it, you buy it.
Okay.
That was the sample.
Really?
How many people bought that?
I'm not buying.
You ain't buying?
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of gullible people.
Yeah, you okay. Yeah. I bet you start back eating sugar again. Because that's sweet what we got.
Really?
Yeah.
You know the old P.T. Barnum line, sucker born every minute. Mm-hmm. He didn't actually say that, but it's attributed to him.
Is it?
Sucker born every minute in Laker Nation.
Oh,
right?
Is that what it is? Yeah.
Mm. 56. Mm. Get my 5 cases ready.
Really? Okay.
56 wins.
You got a lot of cases, bad.
You had another one yesterday. Was it about the free throws?
Yeah, 75%.
It was wishful thinking.
75%.
I'm even worried about you about
75%.
That
75%. He got this.
I don't know.
You let me off the hook.
I gave you a huge break.
Yeah, I know you let me off the hook because I was going to go 80.
Were you?
Yeah, well, but you let me off the hook 75.
Last year you went 80 and he shot 67.
Please don't go 80. I'm trying to protect you here.
If he shoots 75 or 76%, I'll be impressed.
You about to be impressed.
Yeah.
You about to be impressed with this 25, 10, and 7.
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe he will change his free throw routine 75 times during the season.
As long as they go in, I don't care what he does.
Okay.
He can throw the Kareem hook shot from the free throw line for all I care. As long as he makes 75% of them, Skip Bayless.
At some point, he might, turn his back to the basket and shoot over his head.
Hey,
right?
He can do Rick Barry, the granny shot. I don't care.
Whatever he needs to do.
Yes, as long as they go in.
Rick Barry's deadly.
That's all you need. No mercy. 49ers defensive end Nick Bosa was chasing Baker Mayfield all night. Bosa had two sacks as well as a forced and recovered fumble. At the end of the first half, Bosa chased Baker out of the pocket and forced the QB to commit intentional grounding. The former Ohio State Buckeye celebrated the play by mocking Baker's infamous flag celebration from 2017. You may remember this one. I can't forget it. Baker planted the Sooner flag at midfield after Oklahoma upset Ohio State in Columbus. And after the game, Bosa was asked about the celebration. Well, take a listen.
Just wanted to get payback. He had it coming.
I was kind of trying to talk. I don't usually talk, but this game, he had it coming. So, but he didn't say one word back. So,
what'd you say, just an example?
No, I was just screaming his name, like, Baker, Baker, you good? Come on, pick it up. We want a challenge.
Oh, man.
He had been waiting for that.
What we saying? Keep that same energy. Hey,
couple
keep
years.
That same energy.
Okay. We are now joined by Super Bowl champ and Fox Sports college football analyst Reggie Bush. I know you were liking that one.
Yeah.
I'm going to get your take, but I want to start with Skip on this one.
Yeah, because I did not like
it. I figured
what?
Skip was quiet over here. What did you make of it?
I will qualify or disqualify myself by saying I was born and raised a University of Oklahoma football fan, so maybe I know too much about this, but I found Nick Bosa's imaginary flag plant to be weak and lame and empty and useless because it proved nothing and it paid back nothing. They were up 21-3. They had the poor Browns on the run. And the reason Baker ignored his Baker, Baker, is because Baker knew that he was above it all because the true and the lasting payback came at the Ohio State University back in 2016, the night of September the 9th in the Horseshoe, when Baker got the ultimate revenge and payback, because I'm going to remind everybody, he was paying Nick Bosa and the Buckeyes back for what had happened 2016 in Norman, Oklahoma, when they went in there and absolutely annihilated Baker and the Sooners. It was 45-24. That's the year before.
Yeah.
And the Ohio State Buckeyes, featuring Nick Bosa, who was a freshman then, but a really good player, they all got together on the sidelines and sang the Ohio State fight song. And Baker said after the game, I will never forget this, and we will get even when we get our chance. And 1 year later, they got their chance. And what did Urban Meyer say after that game? No opposing quarterback has ever played a better game against me, Urban Meyer. He's been around for a long time. You know him very well. You work with him. Yep. You're on Fox. But no one had ever played a better opposing quarterback game than Baker did that night. 27-35 for 386, three touchdowns, no interceptions, and Oklahoma won 31-16. So to get even with them singing the fight song on OU's field, he took the Oklahoma flag and went to midfield and planted it. And I'm making the case that that game and that flag plant got Baker Mayfield drafted number one overall because John Dorsey brought it up and said that was the highlight of his career. And that energy that you want to talk about, that spirit, whatever that chip
definitely
on shoulder.
Definitely wanted the Heisman.
Okay, well, okay, it helped. It helped, but it didn't hurt his Heisman. Right. Because I thought at that moment, maybe this will hurt his Heisman because some of those old school voters would say, that's a little out of line, that's a little over the top. But John Dorsey said, that's the guy I want at quarterback. So I'm going to let Nick Bosa have his little personal moment because Baker Mayfield has an all-time lasting moment at the Horseshoe, and he will hang on to that. Thank you very much.
Well, I hope this rivalry lasts a long time now because I want to see them keep going back and forth at it.
Might.
Because that's what sports is about. That's what it's about. It's not a matter of if you get got. It's a matter of when you get got. And if you play in this league long enough, you will get got quite a few times, especially playing quarterback like Baker Mayfield, like Baker Mayfield is. And so, I mean, the 49ers put on a football clinic last night. Beat them up in all phases of the game. Offense, defense, really controlled the line of scrimmage. But again, for Nick Bosa to play the way he did last night, plant your flag, young man. Plant your flag because
enjoy your moment.
You enjoy it because you earned it, right? And again, it's not a matter of if you get got, it's a matter of when. And it's funny because anytime people try to trash talk me on social media, they always bring up the infamous Sheldon Brown hit from the NFC divisional game with the Eagles, right?
Right.
But that's what happens in this game. If you play long enough, it's going to happen. I'm luckily, it only happened to me once.
You got right? got one time.
I got one okay. time. And so when I look at that moment for Nick Bosa, I was applauding that because that was his moment to pay Baker Mayfield back. Mm-hmm. And I hope he told Baker Mayfield.
Had already paid Nick Bosa back.
Had already paid Nick Bosa place. Back. Yeah. Right? So I hope he told him, hey, this don't just stop here.
Okay.
You're going to have to see me for the rest of my career. Mm-hmm. Because really, that's what football is about. And, I mean, they dominated that game yesterday. Oh. In a big way, dominated. Big way.
I liked it. I would have loved it mm-hmm. had he planted it in Cleveland. Skip, this is not Neil Armstrong planting the flag on the moon. This is like Neil Armstrong planting the flag in Houston.
Yep.
It didn't have the same, wasn't a small step for man, yep. a giant step mm-hmm. for mankind. Mm-hmm. But we get the why he did it.
Yep.
But if you listen to him, Skip, he's like, what happened to all that talking?
Mm-hmm.
Are you like, what that energy mm-hmm. that you normally have? He says, I'm talking to Baker, and all of a sudden, he ain't got no chip on his shoulder. Oh, where did the chip go?
Yeah.
What is the competitive nature? Man. You see what's going to happen? And they go back to the Sheldon Brown. Imagine if you had been talking stuff.
Yeah.
See, Reggie didn't come in the league and said, I'm better than Barry Sanders.
Yeah.
I can't believe they took this running back at that team.
Right.
Guys didn't go out of their way because they had respect for Reggie because he respected the game. Guys are going to go out of their way. He let it be known. He said, I don't normally trash talk. He went out of his way to do something that he doesn't normally do. Mm-hmm. And that's what Baker's going to bring out of people. Mm-hmm. What they don't normally do, he's going to bring that. He's right. going to summon everybody's
that's
best
true.
To shut him down. Mm-hmm. And right. they will shut it down.
Nick mm-hmm. Bosa had watched the clip of him flag planting so many times that he had it down to doing this.
Right? Exactly.
He
has like old time.
That's yep. good or bad.
Right?
Right. right.
He'd been waiting. Skip,
and this is why
quarterbacks... He had rehearsed it, mm-hmm. clearly.
Yeah.
And this is, and okay. this is why quarterbacks... normally stay out of the fray.
Yep.
Because yep. they are the most vulnerable.
They are.
Most.
Because you throwing the ball, you throwing the ball, you looking down the field, and the dude put his helmet in your chest,
yep.
put it in your back, you never know.
Mm-mm.
So you see what's going on, Baker. You take a guy like Nick Bosa, that's his yep. brother.
Yeah.
Nick Bosa, who says, I don't normally talk. I don't mm-hmm. normally say anything.
Mm-hmm.
But for you, so this is what you go. This is what you've created.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You've created this tsunami. Only you can stop it by showing the proper respect. Okay, you keep having that chip.
Yeah.
These guys in this league, they'll knock it off.
Okay, I got it. Nick Bosa said he'd waited 2 years to get even, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so he'd been just sleeping on that for 2 years.
Yeah.
I'm going to get it.
Yeah.
And maybe Daniel Jones is waiting for his shot
yeah.
to get back at
yeah.
Baker, and maybe a lot of guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I was a talker. And John used to get me, he's like, T, must you get everybody upset. I'm like, it ain't my fault that the guy I'm trying to talk to doesn't want to talk back.
Mm,
it's right. the guys that stink and zim them
yeah.
that
yeah.
the lineman wanted to get involved. It yeah. ain't my fault.
Why do you call you T?
It's a long story.
Well, it must be a really long
story. No,
yeah.
And it really feels like the art of the rivalry is kind of lost between huh. like from player to player, right? Because I don't see as much of players getting into these rivalries, yeah. right?
Everybody friends now, right?
Everybody signing jerseys after the game, trading jerseys. Like nobody's back. Nobody's in that rivalry. Like no, yeah. I'm on this field to dominate you, okay, and I'm gonna do it every play as long as I'm on
USC,
this field.
USC. What would happen when you played Notre Dame or UCLA? Would they talk?
No.
No,
they couldn't. What was they going to say? You can only talk if you beat us, right? So Texas, they could talk all they want.
They could talk.
Anybody else? Right. I don't want to hear it.
Huh. Yeah. Mm-mm.
When did it change? When did it change where this rivalry
shifted?
The new generation.
Everybody trained together. They go on vacation. They had everybody at the spots together.
It's the show.
You know what is funny about you? You're warning everybody about Baker's, for Baker's sake, he's going to get his.
Yeah.
But you were asking for it your whole career.
I gave respect, though.
Yeah.
Normally, they initiate it. And once they got it going, I just need somebody. Party starter. I can get that thing crooked.
But if you're showing up on the field, right, and you're performing, then you have a right to talk trash, right? Because you're backing up what you're saying. Kind of like how Deion Sanders and Andre Rison, right?
But
like some of these great battles.
Yeah, but I wasn't out there talking about, man, Ben Coles a bum.
Yeah.
No, man, this guy right here, but I don't know what they do with him. I don't know why they got him. Yeah.
No, it's
right,
actually right. funny trash talk.
Yeah.
Because before the Atlanta Super right. Bowl.
Me and Ray Buchanan.
Ray Buchanan, yeah.
And that's the thing, Skip. I think sometimes is that, but I was very respectful to the game.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes that's what Baker is like. this is what you're going through is not unique. You're not the only person that's competitive.
Right. Yeah.
Everybody's competitive. That's how you get here. You don't get, guys don't get, it's like, you know, you hear some people talk, well, I'm really not that competitive. Everybody that plays in the NFL is competitive. Yeah. Yeah. Everybody hated losing.
No, yeah. That's true.
And like, so this is not unique to these guys.
Like, it bugged me when I saw Baker not shake Hugh Jackson's hand last year after they fired. Like, come on, that's your coach.
You. He wanted to say, what, he stared him down.
Yeah.
What
I know.
What the coach got to do with this?
He should have stared Sean McVay down.
Right.
Exactly. Stare Kyle Shanahan down.
Yeah.
You see, what I'm starting to see when he gets the upper hand, that's what he wants to
Don't be quiet now.
Yeah.
Be quiet.
Bring up those numbers.
You called him in on Hard Knocks before the season started and congratulated the number one overall pick, Baker Mayfield, for winning the backup job. And he would not start him for the first, whatever it was, three or four games.
Yeah, did skip. Right? But that was
That's not a shot at him. You know, that's just the coach trying to do his job.
Okay.
Yeah,
I mean, Baker, he's got the biggest chip on his shoulder. And as you say, maybe it just got knocked off.
They didn't knock off yet. No, not yet.
Can we just say, though, 49ers 4-0 for the first time since 1990?
And they look good, too.
Are we not paying attention to this? I mean, that's impressive.
I'm going to pay attention to them this coming Sunday.
This Sunday?
Yeah.
The Rams. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
But he was talking about, Skip, that Baker was in the pocket and how he's going to see over Buckner and the other big defense, 6'6", 6'7". Now, they got another guy in that division that's shorter than Baker that's going to have a problem seeing over the defensive lineman. So it's going to be very interesting to see how he handles this pass rush that the 49ers, because, boy, they coming. No mercy.
Christian McCaffrey has been off to one of the hottest starts in NFL history. He is only the second player to have over 500 yards rushing and 250 yards receiving in the first five games of a season. At the pace McCaffrey is going, he will break the single-season record for most yards from scrimmage by over 200 yards. McCaffrey's teammate, Gerald McCoy, said if the season ended right now, the running back would be MVP. Reggie, are you surprised McCaffrey has had this much success so early right now?
I'm not surprised because I actually got a chance to meet McCaffrey when he was still in high school. Met him on a random trip on vacation, me and my wife. We were in Miami. I go into the gym. Him and his brothers are in there working out. This is why they're in high school, right? And so I figured out who he was, told me his last name, and took a picture with him. But to fast forward to see what he did in college, and then now that we're having this conversation, the one thing I took away from that meeting was I saw his character on full display when he was in high school. On his spring break trip, him and his brothers are in the gym working out like that. And so to see him having this kind of success now, it only makes sense because his character and his work ethic is paying off on the football field. And Carolina is now finding ways to get him the football in space, right? I don't know if they were doing as great of a job as that, or maybe they weren't giving him as many opportunities when Cam Newton was there, because Cam Newton is the focal point when he's in the game, right? And so now they're having to make him the focal point. They're funneling the offense through him. They're getting him the ball in space, right? He had a great route against Jacksonville where he ran what we call a jerk route. And Jerry Rice was really one of the pioneers of this route, is where we run up. If it's man coverage, the backer grabs you, you have the option to break him down and go either east or west. If it's zone, you turn around, sit, and you catch the ball and go up the field. So he had a great route, scored a touchdown on it, and they got to do more of this, though. They got to get him the ball in space because that is where he's at his best, is when he's in space. And now they're saying that he's not just a running back. We can use him a lot of different ways. That's why he returns punts, catching the ball to backfield, running the football. He had one.
Line him up in the slot.
Yeah, line him up in the slot. You can do a lot of different things with him. A lot of different things.
No, I'm not surprised, Skip. And you know, obviously, I'm biased. I know this kid his whole life.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I forgot about that. I didn't think about that.
I played with his dad. I know his mom. Skip.
And describe his dad as a player. What was
his dad was hardworking. His dad was faster than you thought. I'm not so sure his dad. I think his dad could outrun him. But Ed, but he was gangly. Ed was 6'5", 6'5" and a half. And we call him Forrest because every time he run, we say, run, Forrest, run. But Ed could really run. But the thing was that you don't think a white, this is a picture of me and Christian McCaffrey. This is at the second Super Bowl.
So amazing.
That's Christian sitting on my lap.
Skip, remember, and by the way, didn't you tell me that he was his favorite player?
Yes, Christian McCaffrey. You're his favorite player. You know, that's why he wore number, I think he wore number five.
Number five in college.
Because of Reggie.
Okay.
Skip, I'm not surprised that you and I had this conversation. The thing that I'm surprised about is how durable he is for how small he is.
I agree.
I didn't have a problem with him running between the tackles because if you watch Stanford's offense, it's a lot of counters. It's a lot of trades. Mm-hmm. They run a lot between the tackles. So I wasn't concerned with that. But I'm concerned that, I mean, he's getting 25, 30, almost 40 touches a game.
Yeah.
He's only 205, 210, maybe tops.
Yep.
I'm thinking somewhere between 205 and 210.
Yeah.
The 35 to 40 touches, that's reserved for a back that's 230, 240.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not a 205 guy, but I'm not surprised that he can do so much, Skip. Mm-hmm. He can run inside, he can run outside. They're just trying to find as many different ways because, as Reggie mentioned, Cam is not there. Mm-hmm. So now you have to find he's your best player. So now how do we get our best player get the ball in his hand?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're doing. They're throwing it to him. They're handing it to him. They're pitching it to him. They can't give him enough. And the thing is, Skip, he doesn't leave the field.
Mm-mm.
He's one of the few NFL back. He never leaves the field.
Mm-mm.
And to play that many snaps and to touch the ball as much as he does, he's unbelievable.
Mm.
And I can see why he's third. I have him third on my ballot. I would have Mahomes one. I would have Russell Wilson two.
I thought yesterday you were leaning Russell. Thought you said.
Russell's gaining.
I guess day to day.
No, Russell's gaining. Mm-hmm. Russell, after that performance, Russell is gaining.
Okay.
Russell's closed that gap. But hey, after the performance that he had Sunday, he's closed the gap too. They're right there. Shake them up, pull one out, you won't be disappointed.
Mm. Yeah.
But he's unbelievable, Skip.
Mm. I have been shocked that he has not missed a game yet.
Yeah.
Because he did miss games at Stanford.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he was going to have a harder time in pro football than he had at Stanford because, as you know, you guys are about the same size.
Yeah, well, no, we are the same size.
You're 6 feet-ish, 205. Mm-hmm. He's listed at 5'11", 205, whatever. But, again, I thought that Christian would be more icing than cake, that he'd be nice to have, but you'd have to figure out ways to utilize him other than just banging him up the gut and trying to establish the run with this little man who won't be able to stay that healthy. But they've been doing both with him and getting away with it because he hadn't missed a game yet.
Right. Yeah.
And, again, you timed 4-3-3 coming out. He's 4.48, so he's not he's not like world class, but in his genes, if you go back to his grandfather was a world class.
His mom ran track. From what I hear,
she played soccer too.
Yeah. He always says that his mom is the one he gets.
I think Ed ran 4.45 coming out of college.
Okay. So he's got good bloodlines. really good bloodlines.
Yep.
And I always say this in covering any pro sport as long as I have, if you have fathers or grandfathers, it gives you supreme confidence that they did it, I can do it. So he walks in the door fearless, like, I got this.
Right.
Your brother helped you some, not hugely, but you knew when you stepped on the field, my brother did this.
Yes.
You know, it gives you a huge advantage.
And Skip, he grew up in the NFL locker room.
He got
to come to work and he ran around the field. He's like, I want to do this.
Like Ken Griffey Jr.
Right.
He grows up in the Cincinnati Reds locker room. His dad is a star. Mm-hmm. You know, like, okay, I can do this.
Yeah.
I can be better than my dad.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And this kid might be better than all of them.
Yeah.
Right?
He's going to be better than
me. His brother is playing quarterback at Michigan.
Michigan.
And he has another brother at Nebraska.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow. That's so quite a family.
Yeah.
So what's impressive to me so far is where he's scoring the most is on breakaway runs.
We saw
Breida start the game last night, but he's got an 84 and a 64. You know, he's got long runs, so he's breaking like you.
Yeah.
When he looks fast with the ball, not, you know, he couldn't outrun you in a 40-yard dash in your prime versus his prime. But I think with the ball in his hands, he can motor, man.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And the narrative has changed, too, because when I first, like you said, when I first got into the league, they still wanted a big running back complemented by a smaller running back, right?
Yes.
And so when I got in the league, we had Deuce McAllister. He was our big running back.
And he was a banger.
Ooh. And now everybody wants the smaller back that can do a lot of different things, right?
Alvin Kamara.
Exactly. Alvin Kamara's probably the only other running back who I could say do the same thing.
Because you got Saquon.
Yeah.
People look at Saquon, but Saquon is 235.
Yeah, he did.
People don't realize how big he is. Saquon is 235,
right.
Can run like that, but has hands and can catch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But But Christian McCaffrey, the thing that I'm surprised about, not the success that he's having, but how durable. Ooh, yeah. 37 touches.
It's a lot.
That's a lot of, man, look here.
It's a lot of touches. And again, knock on wood, I hope that he can stay healthy.
Yes.
But you have to know that the proof is in the pudding. You get that many carries, mm-hmm. even if you're 225, it's going, eventually it's going to happen, right? And it's going, and eventually there's going to be some injuries because this is a league of all-stars. There's grown men on the other side of football.
But you know what helps now, Reggie? They don't bang during the week like we used to.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yep. See, that was the thing. So back in the day, you carried the ball 30 times. Guess what? Wednesday
practice, 9:07.
Banging again. First of Thursday, banging again. Yeah. And then Friday, you have on shells with your shoulder pads.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't do that anything now. Yeah. More times than not, it's a lot of walkthroughs now.
So, and these linebackers are a lot smaller, too.
Yeah.
225, 230. Yeah. That's a normal linebacker now.
Well, you brought up white running back.
Yeah.
And again, I covered all the way back to Craig James. Remember this at SMU and then the Patriots? Mm-hmm. And I figured Craig, he was a stud white running back at 230, 235-ish, who could run 4.4.
Yeah.
And I thought, this will be the last of the great white running backs because he helped New England get to that Super Bowl
85.
Against the Bears.
Yeah.
And
and
I thought, well, this kid is revolutionizing.
Yeah.
You know, like,
and you know what he's going to do is, his other young white kids are now going to I can do that too, right? I can go play running back too because before Christian McCaffrey, we haven't really seen a white running back like him do it in the way he's doing it right now. This. So now he's going to inspire.
There was John Riggins.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Fullbacks.
There was Larry Zonka.
Yeah.
There was Mike All-Star type running back. Yeah. I forget the guy. What's the guy, Skip? He played at Cleveland, had the one good year.
Peyton Hillis.
Peyton Hillis.
Yeah, Skip.
There was like one good year.
Yeah, Skip, you know.
And he was on the Madden.
He won the Madden cover. They were built like him. Not like that.
Yeah, not like that.
And shifty.
Yeah.
Right? It kind of reminds me of Wes Welker, right? Because before Wes Welker, you didn't see a lot of great white slot receivers.
Nope.
Now
nope.
you're seeing it's a lot, right?
And
so he's going to inspire some kids. So now they feel like I can go play running back too, like Christian McCaffrey.
Now we need a corner.
Yeah.
We need to go and get away. We ain't had one in a while, Skip.
Seahorn.
Seahorn.
That's a long time ago.
And Brad
that was
Davis.
In your Super Bowl.
You were Brad Davis and Scott Case.
And Scott Case.
Scott
University
Case.
Of Oklahoma?
Yeah.
Speaking of University of Oklahoma, Reggie and I have a busy weekend, guys.
Here we go. Big one, baby.
Red River Showdown. Are you sure you guys don't want to come in town
for
this
one? Yeah, we need to go to the State Fair.
So we have a 2-hour Big Noon Kickoff edition that Saturday. So are you looking forward to
it? I am. I can't wait. It's my first time to the Texas State Fair.
Is it your first time?
First time.
We experienced it last year, and let me tell you, just seeing
the greatest.
It is
the greatest.
Man, you don't eat nothing
like it.
I'll be eating fried Twinkies, Snickers, and Oreos. I have all that.
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place, whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this, crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right, Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me, that's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew. Ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids. Just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
Well, Jason Garrett has been getting a lot of heat for the Cowboys' back-to-back losses. Jerry Jones said that the team's performance was, quote, certainly not been good enough. On the bright side, Jerry did say that over the course of a 16-game season, there is plenty of time for the Cowboys to get it together. So, Shannon, on a scale of 1 to 10, how panicked is Jerry?
He probably about to sell him, Skip. Because he's suffering from a lot of Cowboy fans' expectations. Oh. And he put it on himself because you heard him say, Skip, this is as talented team we've had around here in a long time. Mm. It's as talented as some of those Super Bowl teams, Skip.
That's your best Jerry.
You know what I'm saying? That's old Jerry saying, you know. And Skip, and so that's what happened. And he was really feeling good. You look at that offense the first 3 weeks, beating up on Miami, beating up on Washington, the Giants. Ooh! Mm. Jerry liking that. Mm. And then all of a sudden, the realization.
Mm.
He had a woo. Mm. You know, you get a balloon, you have balloon for your party. Yeah. They all big, they all blow it up real nice.
Yeah.
And then the next day, some of the air seats out there, they're not as high as they once were. Mm. And then 2 days later, and then by that third or fourth day, they're on the floor. They were just at the ceiling, 20 feet up in the air, just a couple of days ago. That's where you are. 2 weeks ago, you way up there. Couldn't you see? I'm like, man. Mm. Is that the cowboy balloon way up now? Yeah. And now I'm looking right here. I say, yeah, there you go. Right where you're supposed to be.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And this.
Sorry. Sorry. Skip, I can't help it.
My thing is, Jerry, if you're like, this is 16 games, why are you talking like this? Mm. Why are you talking like this? It's not good enough last week and it's not good enough this week if it's over 16 games. If you say it's going to average itself out, why are you talking like this?
Mm.
I don't want to hear my owner panic. Mm. Sound like he panicking to me, Skip. Mm. What it sound like to you?
It sounds like he's scale of 1 to 10 at a 1. That's what he is on the panic meter. And I'll tell you why.
Why?
This is one way that Jerry Jones is built differently than most owners. Back in the days, I used to do a pre-Monday night show on ESPN. This is back in the 90s. I would see Jerry on a Tuesday, Wednesday. And he would pull me aside and say, hey, I was watching you guys debate on whatever it was called, Prime Monday, I think it was called. And he would always ask me, why do you guys feel like you have to decide the season after 5 weeks? Well, it's because what we do.
Right.
It's what we're paid to do.
Right.
And everybody has an opinion, so we're just sharing our opinion. And he was always like, well, why don't you just let it play out a little bit more? Mm-mm. Because you have to be patient with the season. No, right?
I need light bill, gas bill paid. Okay. I can't do that, Jerry.
Okay. So in the hundreds of hours I interviewed Jerry for the 3 books I wrote about the Dallas Cowboys, he constantly brought up this phrase to me, that he has a high tolerance for ambiguity. And I know that's a complicated word, but it's a good Jerry word because it's tolerance for uncertainty. It's your risk factor. Right. How much are you willing to risk? And tolerance for ambiguity for Jerry came from the oil and gas business because he drilled for a whole lot of oil wells that failed.
Right.
And he went complete bust one time. And loves to tell that story. He flew into Love Field and handed his credit card to the woman behind the rent car counter. And she looked and she took her scissors out and cut the card in two because it didn't work.
Yeah. Wild.
It was out.
Right.
Right? So that's Jerry knows that feeling of tolerance for ambiguity. So if you're going to own and operate a football team, you better have high tolerance for what could or couldn't happen.
Well, that's most owners, Skip. But most owners are not in front of the camera.
Yep.
Most owners are not the face of their franchise. Mm-hmm. He's unique. He's the only owner, Skip. Now, he's more George Steinbrenner. George Steinbrenner, no matter all the superstars that he had, Skip, he was bigger than all of them because he did all the talking. He talked more than after the game, instead of interviewing Billy Manager, whoever the manager was at the time.
Billy Martin, excuse me.
Mm-hmm. Whoever the manager was at the time, they go to George. Well, instead of talking to Jason Garrett, who they go to, Skip?
They go to Jerry.
Exactly.
Not Jared. They go to Jerry.
They go to Jerry.
Okay. But George Steinbrenner had no tolerance for ambiguity because there's no salary cap in baseball.
Right.
So he was used to winning a championship every year because he could basically buy the championship.
He was buying the best pitch on the market, the best hitter, whatever the best was, he bought.
Bottomless pockets.
Yep.
So if it didn't work for a stretch of a week or so, he's like, I'm going to fire the manager.
Right.
Right? Or I'm going to go buy somebody else.
Yes. It's somebody's fault.
Okay.
But the thing is, Skip, and if Jerry's like, okay, it's going to work itself out, then why are you talking?
But it's not that it'll work itself out. It's that you have to be patient and give it a chance to work itself out. It's like deep down, you're not sure it's going to work out, but you got to wait. You can't overreact after 5 weeks of the NFL season because last year, They fell to 3-5.
Right.
So they're 3-2. So effectively, they could lose their next three games and be right where they were last year when they won the division and won a playoff game.
I don't think that same thing going to happen this time.
Okay, well,
lose the next three. Well, you got the Giants.
That.
You got the Giants.
Okay,
I mean, the Giants. You got the Jets.
Yeah.
So we already know how they're going to turn out.
Right, okay.
But it's coming. It's coming.
Okay, but what does he know? So he just watched Carson Wentz play the Green Bay Packers and throw for a grand total of 160
yards. Yeah.
Then he watched Dak Prescott play the Packers and throw for 463. 160, 463. So he's saying, my quarterback's at least as good as that quarterback, and they got the Eagles at home in 2 weeks.
But
so why would he panic
but
now?
My quarterback got the dub. Yeah. And they say when you go to Shannon Sharp restaurant, he don't have QBR, and he don't have almost wins on Skip, you know what? Would you like what Dak had?
Okay. All he knows is that Dak beat Carson Wentz twice last year.
That was last year.
As they went on their streak.
That was last year.
Okay. Well, he's Carson Wentz.
When is Dak going to beat Aaron Rodgers again?
Well, I don't know. I hope in the playoffs.
That didn't happen.
I would love to see him.
You know that's not going
to
happen.
And I would love to see him at Lambeau in the playoffs.
Oh. Yeah,
because Dak won it.
Oh, you want to go back and you want to plant your flag. You want to plant the Cowboy flag at Lambeau, huh?
Yeah, I want to reverse the curse because Aaron Rodgers got some hex over Jerry World. I don't get it. I don't know what happens, but something bad always happens.
Well, all I know is that, you know, looking at that first game, 35-17, 31-21, 31-6. Woo, we going to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
I already bought my ticket. And then what happened? 10 points and 24 points.
Okay. Yeah. So where's my panic meter? It's at a 5 because I don't like what I'm seeing from my defense. I haven't liked it
all year.
You may
not like what you see with your quarterback.
No, stop it.
Your quarterback.
I'm talking about my defense right now because the $100 million defensive end known as Tank or DeMarcus Lawrence, or as you call him, D-Law, has been a no-show. And he was a no-show again Sunday. He had one tackle Sunday, and they say he's nicked. He's got two or three little things wrong.
Something.
But again,
what about your quarterback that want to be the highest paid player?
Okay.
When is he going to deliver?
Keep going back to him, and that's the one thing I do trust on the team. I'm talking about my defense.
Okay, when you
because I don't see enough from Robert Quinn the other day after he had the big
backyard is really good.
Okay,
last year Pro Football Focus had been the number one rated tackle in all of football.
Well, he looked like the number one rated tackle.
But I'm trying. Okay, but what about that defense? Gave the Saints 4 field goals, and your quarterback that wants to be the highest paid only got you 10.
Yeah, he had a QBR of 77 that game, played very well without his two best receivers.
Let me ask you a question. Would you rather have a QBR of 37 and have 13 points and win the game, or a QBR of 77 and 10 and lose the game?
Yeah, New Orleans is really good.
No.
How did Teddy Bridgewater look against Tampa that had just shell-shocked the Rams at L.A.? What happened? What happened? What happened to Teddy Bridgewater? Did he not just throw a Mardi Gras party? Yeah.
The Saints. Yeah. You make it seem like the Saints or the 85 Bears on defense.
Yeah.
They weren't.
Okay. They're really good on defense.
They're good, but they're not 85 Bears. They're not 2000 Ravens or the 02 Bucks.
Okay.
So stop saying this.
Okay.
They got your guy, did not get them in the end zone but once. He got 10 points against Teddy Bridgewater.
Yep. He made one misfired throw and misran the
Bob. And what I tell you?
Yeah, everybody throws
bad
balls.
And what did I nickname him?
You want me to start showing you the bad balls that Carson Wentz threw at Green Bay?
Teddy.
Yikes.
I told you. His name after the game was going to be Teddy over troubled water.
Okay.
And what did he deliver? Did he bring us home?
Yeah.
When did he bring us home in the idle storm?
You've been ripping him and being sarcastic about him until now when he's showing you he is a starting quarterback in this league, and he did go 11-5 for the Minnesota Vikings
and
make the Pro Bowl.
I don't know what he was.
Okay, so there's no shame in losing to that team. Okay.
You can't lose to a backup. Yeah. You said, when the last time Tom Brady lost to a backup?
So right now, the Dallas Cowboys are tied for first in the NFC.
Say it again.
Is that good?
Say it again.
Tied for first.
Now, after the first week, you was in first. After the second week, you was in first. After the third week, you were three-game clear. You were two-game clear. Mm. Right now.
Tied for first. It's a long
tie with us.
Jerry knows.
Walk it to him.
Walk it to him. Still, Dak Prescott's still number one in QBR. Carson Wentz is
As a matter of fact, he's number one. But who's the MVP? Who's in front of the MVP, Bo?
Well, you told me yesterday it was Russell Wilson.
No. Walk it to him is in front of Dak.
Let that sink in
for a second.
I don't think he is.
I think he is. I'm 1,000% certain.
On what? Says who?
On the polls that we just quoted.
Oh, what polls?
The one that said Mahomes was first, Russell is second, third is McCaffrey. Oh. That one.
You see,
and Deshaun Watson is fourth.
Carson Wentz keeps throwing for like what do you throw against the Jets? 150 or once? I don't know. He keeps having the kind of games you say Dak always has.
Dak was having those games and losing. Huh. My guy having those games and winning.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Dinkin' and Dackin'.
Yeah. Can't wait for a week from Sunday at Jerry World.
Seriously.
I got that energy.
I know you have the energy on Monday. I know you're gonna have the energy after you play the Jets. I know you have that energy.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah, you have the energy.
Just had a big team meeting yesterday.
They did. I saw that.
But what?
They got to get back.
By the way, their starting quarterback sounds like he's going to play. I don't know what the result will be today, but it sounds like Sam Darnold's going to play. So this will be a battle.
Building it up.
And I don't care if they lose. It wouldn't be that bad. 3-3, and then they'll take off against the Eagles.
No, they won't.
Yeah. You say that. I just don't know if I believe it. No
mercy. Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then.
Facts. Sports. One of one.